worse than last week. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the brightest morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me. While I live by faith in his blessed will. Oh, so shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, to see his blessed face, where river of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the brightest morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Before opening prayer, let's turn to before opening prayer, let's turn to sing number 389. Mm-hmm. 389, let's do the first three verses. 1, 2, and 3.
Once from my poor sin, sick soul, Christ did
you bow with me as we go to God in prayer. Dear Father, this day we're so thankful that we can gather together here to sing songs of praise to your name, to offer up prayers to commemorate the Lord's suffering and death for us, and to hear another portion of your word. This day, dear Father, as we come to you, we're asking for your intervention to help those who are suffering. Our Bobby Abney, Ken Gatewood, Jubal Freeman, Tiffany Henson, Ron Beatty, Clarence Irwin, Debbie Helton, Connie Hasley, James Baldwin, John Baldwin, Evelyn Johnson, Mary Smith, Luella Brown, James Gatewood, Heather Good. We also ask, dear Father, you be with Jermaine Harris as he is having kidney problems. Dear Father, as we're mindful of those in our flock who are needing your help, we ask, dear Father, that you look about kindly upon those of this world who are undergoing the ravages of storms, things that disrupt their lives, those who are oppressed. Help us, dear Father, to have kind hearts and to remember the goodness that you have shown people of faith throughout their existence. How you helped the people as they fled hunger and sought sanctuary in Egypt and other places. Help us, dear Father, to realize we have an obligation not only to the household of faith, but to humans everywhere, for we're all created in your image. Be with our leaders, dear Father, that they may resolve differences, and that instead of jabbing and poking at one another, that they'll look at ways to heal the nation, and ways that we can be a beacon of light into the world. Help us, dear Father, to practice what we preach as a congregation and as a nation. We ask, dear Father, as we go through this service, that we'll focus our minds and our hearts upon the words that we hear, that we may think deeply upon the meaning of the words, and that we'll put them to work in our lives. For we ask this all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
While we feast, Christ the Jesus. as the hymn says, as the scripture says, Christ says, do this in my memory. We stand here before you with the emblems of the Holy Feast, the bread which represents the body, and the fruit of the vine which represents the shed blood on the cross. Scripture said he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. It's due in remembrance of me. At this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning in remembrance of that great sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the remission of sin. Father, we ask at this time, as we take up this bread, Father, we do so in a way that is pleasing unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before thy throne of grace, Heavenly Father. Thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together on this Lord's Day, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to partake of this Lord's Supper, for to come together in remembrance of the sacrifice that thy Son Jesus made on our behalf, Heavenly Father. Pray at this time, Heavenly Father, we'll clear our minds, for we know thy Son Jesus was a man without sin, lived a perfect life, but he was so loved this world that he was still willing to give his life, become that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish. And we pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this fruit of the vine who represents his precious blood, that we do so in a manner that'll be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
As always, it's our desire here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ to make sure that all who wish to partake of the Lord's Supper have an opportunity to do so. If for any reason you are overlooked, we ask you to signify by raising your hands. Seeing no hands, we move to another portion of our service, that is of giving. Let's now give thanks for that opportunity. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we once again come to you humbly bowing, Father, thanking you first and foremost for the many, many blessings you've already given us, Father. If you never give us anything else, Lord, you've given us enough. Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to be able to give back such a small portion of what you have so greatly given to us. We ask for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You can't walk sitting down. No, I won't say that. But if you'd like to stand, please stand as we sing this song, the first and last verse. I walk with the King to heavenly land, the kingdom of light, the pathway. Eternal his throne, forever 'twill be, to mansions on high, a crown there for me. I walk with the King, through pastures so green, by quiet waters still. Hear his voice say,
the King, through pastures so green, by quiet waters still, to do His good will. He lighted the way from darkness to day. I hold to His hand. I walk with the King through pastures so green, by quiet waters still, to do His good will. He lighteth the way from darkness to day. I'll hold to His hand. I walk with the King.
The scripture reading for this morning's lesson, titled Invoking a Deeper Level of Thinking, will be taken from John chapter 4. Verses 7 through 15. Once again, that's John chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. I'll be reading from the King James translation. And it reads, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldn't have asked of him. And he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springeth up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And now for our brother Skip.
Good morning. Truly God has once again granted us an opportunity to be able to come together this morning to assemble ourselves to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we just again thank you for this day and thank you for your blessings and this opportunity you've given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary correction before it's everlastingly too late. Guide me your word, the things that I say. Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Invoking a deeper level of thinking. This morning we're going to be using a teaching tool to help us to be able to invoke a deeper level of thinking. When you look at this text, you find that Jesus has left Judea and he is headed to Galilee in verse number 3. But then on this journey back to Galilee, our text tells us that he is headed back by way of Samaria in verse number 4. Now, this would have been the quickest way, but most Jews, they would travel 1.5 times the distance to avoid the hated people of Samaria. And as we examine this story, what we see is that the woman at the well, we're going to glean some principles this morning that would help us to be able to think on a deeper level. And it will also help us to invoke a deeper level of thinking to those we seek to share the gospel with. When you look, you're talking about invoking, I'm simply talking about to appeal to action. To appeal to action. So let's look at John chapter 4 on this morning and see how Jesus helped to invoke a deeper level of thinking for the woman at the well. When you see the text, when you look at verse 6, we're going to find that Jesus now is seated at Jacob's well. And a Samaritan woman, she comes along to draw water. It was not unnatural for a woman to draw water from the well. It was usually the women who carried the water in that day. But it was unnatural to see that this woman is coming to the well. The Bible says that at 3 o'clock, but that's noon. This woman is coming to the well at noon. And the reason it's unnatural is because the women usually came early in the morning or late in the evening to avoid heat. And so what can we find from this story? Number one, that invoking deeper thinking requires breaking down barriers. We're going to see that in verse 1 through verse number 9. When you think about barriers, barriers are one of the things that keep us from thinking on a deeper level. There are so many barriers that will keep us from questioning what we are told, or will prevent us from challenging the conventional group thinking of the day. Barriers are made to keep people or things out. When you look today, you go down some of the highways, you see some physical barriers on the interstate. And as you see those going on in the road construction, and those barriers are meant to keep drivers out of the areas where the work is taking place. And when we have barriers of the mind, those barriers will keep things out and thoughts that run contrary to what we think that we already know. There are a variety of barriers that stifles our ability to dive deep into the questions we face in life. Barriers will lock our minds into a particular way of thinking that will keep us from asking the question and digging deeper in the things we should dig deeper. But God is not afraid for you and I to dig deep as you grow in your faith. So Jesus now is resting. He's resting by the well while his disciples go into town to get some food, according to verse number 8. Jesus now is going to engage this woman in a conversation. But the dialogue is not going to go in the direction that the woman thinks that it's going to go. But before this woman would ever listen to Jesus, there are some barriers that needs to be torn down. What are some of those barriers? The fact that Jesus is a Jew and she is a Samaritan. The fact that he is a Jewish man and she is a woman. You have to understand some things that happen in that society. See, in their society, Jewish men would not even speak to their female family members in public many times. I'm talking about the husband wouldn't even speak to the wife in a public setting. And so, but not only that, there was a religious barrier. And he was a Jew, and she was a Samaritan. And this affected how she saw the world. So in verse number 7, when you look at verse 7, Jesus makes a simple request. And that request was, give me a drink. Now, from that simple request, what we see then is that we see a life-changing event that is going to take place. But before that can happen, barriers had to be dismounted. So when you look at verse number 9, in verse number 9, the woman throws up the barriers. And Jesus, by virtue of engaging in the conversation, will destroy the barrier. Look at verse 9. For in verse number 9, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. So as you look at this particular verse, Jesus does not answer her verse 9 question. But what he does is that he gets right to what he's trying to get her to think about. So that means that secondly, invoking deeper thinking requires a patient approach. We're going to see that in verse 15 through 24. When we are seeking to help someone think a little deeper about things, it will require a great deal of patience. When you try to share Jesus with people, even if they have heard him, they do not know him. So don't be surprised when they are shocked by you introducing him to them. Because, see, sometimes we got to understand, you might say then, I'm showing them this, but why can't they see what I'm showing them? So you have to be patient, even though you see it. You got to be patient in helping them to see it. And that's what Jesus is doing with the woman at the well. He is being patient with her. So in the exchange, notice what Jesus tells the woman in verse 10. He says in verse number 10, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me drink to drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee," now notice this, "living water." So what Jesus does is that Jesus offers to do something for her. When we talk to people about Jesus, we need to make sure that we include in our conversation and in our introduction what Jesus has done for us. We need to let them know how Jesus has made a difference in our lives. And so Jesus offers her something that she really did not understand, but engaged her in a deeper conversation. Now watch this. What the woman is fixated on, the woman is fixated on the water in the well. She is fixated on the barrier of her immediate need of water. Look at verse 11. For in verse 11, the woman said unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" What she is doing is that she seemingly says something in a mockery way by telling Jesus, basically, "You don't even have a bucket that will reach the 100+ foot deep well." But notice this, to bag her thinking, what she does then is that she goes into the Samaritan view of the history of the well. Look at verse 12. "For in verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" But watch this. Once again, if you notice that Jesus does not answer the question about the bucket. He doesn't answer that. But he keeps driving his point home to this woman. In verse 13 and 14, Jesus then answers her. He says in verse 13 that whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What is Jesus trying to do? Jesus is trying to get her to think outside of the box. All right? She needs not to be constrained by barriers or circumstances. What she needs to do is that she needs to listen to what he is saying and think about it. So when we bring Jesus to people, We need to know them well enough to be able to show them that Jesus can meet all of their needs. All right? So what Jesus does is that Jesus stays patient with this woman to this point. And that's what we got to do. Because sometimes, you know, people, you know, we can stay long enough and try to teach people and they don't see it and they're doing all that. We get all frustrated. We get all mad and say, man, forget it. No, you got to learn how to be patient with people that you are trying to teach. Even though she didn't see what Jesus is saying up to this point, Jesus is still patient with this woman. Now watch this. Look how the woman responds in verse 15. And this would drive some of us up the wall, because we think that now they understand. But look what she does. In verse 15, the woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." What she is stuck on is she is stuck on the well. But now Jesus would do something to try to shake her world a little bit. What is Jesus going to do? Watch what he does. When you look at verse 16 through verse 19, Jesus is not trying to demean the woman, but he's trying to get her to do something that she needs to do. Watch what he does. Look what he says to this woman. He says now in verse 16, "Go home, call thy husband, and come hither." What Jesus is doing is Jesus is getting personal. He's digging into her life. The problem is, she knows he does not know her. It's not like today where Jesus could look for her on Facebook. Jesus could look for her on Google. Jesus has already laid out her life before her. The woman answers and says, "Listen, I have no husband." Now see that? Verse 17. But notice what Jesus says. "Thou hast well said that you have no husband." But then here is the kicker. He says now that you have five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. Can you imagine this? How in the world did this man know that I've already had five, and the one that I have now, it's not yours? So what we have is, on one side, the woman was honest with Jesus. She knew he knew her to the core, but she did not know how he knew her. And so this made her realize that there was something different about this man. How can this man know my life history? And I want you to know, people may not know about your history, but God does. The Lord knows everything about you. And so we see here, look at verse 19. Now the woman says in verse 19, she says, sir, I perceive that you ain't no ordinary man. Thou art a prophet. I see something different about you. So that brings us to the third thing. And that is invoking deeper thinking requires allowing the light of truth to shine on one's life. Verse 15 through 24. So Jesus is trying to get this woman to think on a spiritual level, to go deeper into her thinking. And so now he tries to get her to shine the light of truth on her own life. And this was meant to get her thinking on a spiritual level, to get her to see her spiritual needs. And it was more significant than her need for water in the well. So when Jesus asked her to get her husband, and she said she did not have one, Jesus stated that she had five. She now has, that she has no husband. Watch this. Now that she has taken a look at her life, she drops the subject of water. Y'all see that? And she tells Jesus that she perceives that he is a prophet. So, she goes back to ask Jesus more spiritual now. It's not physical question now, but it's spiritual, oriented question concerning worship. And so his patience is paying off. She'll ask Jesus a reasonable, profound question concerning worship. Let's look at that, and then we're going to be trying to close this out. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, Jesus said unto her, woman, believeth me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when a person starts to question their own life, when they begin to examine their lives in the light of truth, then what happens is it helps them to start thinking a bit deeper about eternity. It helps them begin to see what this place that's called heaven is all about. And so verse 25 and 26 leads us to a final thought, and that is invoking deeper thinking requires the courage to embrace the truth. The right question, the question about the Messiah, Jesus told her, he was the one. He was the Messiah. Look at verse 26 and 27. Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marvel that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? But then what did the woman do? The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city and said unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, came unto him. Now notice this. After she looked at her own life, She knew who Jesus was. Aren't you a prophet? I perceive that you're a prophet. Now she says, I'm going to go tell some folk to come see this man that told me everything that I've done. What can you learn? Jesus did not tell her to go back into town and do what she was going to do. She did this all on her own. Let me tell you something. When you obey the gospel, it ought to excite you to go tell somebody about this man Jesus. But then the second thing that impressed is that she cared enough for her fellow citizen to drop what she was doing to go tell them about Jesus. One of the things that marks a changed life is telling other people about Jesus. She had a testimony. And a testimony can be powerful. People are moved by testimonies. And people today are not looking for religion. They are looking for answers. And they can find it in Jesus Christ. This woman came to town with a simple message. She didn't come with a ton of theology. Because theology is important. But if you do not have a testimony, then the theology will fail on deaf ears. So I ask you a question this morning. What is your testimony? What is your testimony? If someone were to ask you what Jesus has done for you, if someone was to ask you, what has he done to make your life better? What would you say? What would you say this morning? See, Jesus took her. He took her from worrying about the water to talking to her about the living water, to getting her to think deep enough to ask about the coming Messiah. And I hope that when we've looked at this lesson this morning, it will cause us to have a deeper level of thinking that we can be able to share with others the good news of what Jesus has done to make a difference in our lives. If you hear and not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've heard the word, believe it to be true, repent of your sin, confess Christ, and be baptized. If you're here in a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, then you need to respond to this invitation. Do it right now. As together we stand and sing the song of invitation, won't you come?
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restored. My heart is weary, please help me, dear Lord. I stand in need of more strength from your word. Renew my love, refill my faith, oh, restore my soul. Revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. Desire to work in your fold. Light in my heart, dear God, your zeal grown cold. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul. Renew my courage, Lord, if need.
Let us pray. Kind Father in heaven, we indeed thankful that you have allowed us to wake up this morning, prepare ourselves, and come here today and come here and congregate together and be able to conduct this worship service. Thankful, Father, that we live in a country whereby we can come together at times like this, as we are supposed to. We're also thankful that we are recovered to the extent from this virus that we have, that this service was conducted here. Father, if there are those that could have been here or not, may they come reconsider and come, because after all, it is stated in your word that we are to come together from time to time and perform the service such as we have had. And Father, at this time, may your blessing be with the bereaved, Sister Sizemore and the family, and the loss of a loved one. Whatever we might be able to do to comfort her in the time of comfort them in a time of need, may we do so. And as we are about to depart, we are thankful for the message that we heard this morning. May you continue to bless Brother Skipper as he and others here stand before from time to time, and they can give us a message that whereby we can be edified. May we take this message which we have received today, apply it to our lives, helping us to be able to try to reach out to others and bring them into the fold. Before it's everlasting too late. As we are about to depart, may your blessing be with each one of us until we meet again. In Christ's name we do pray, and amen.